afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adesk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. We're going to have to stretch that out. It's crazy events anymore. The world has become a complete loony tune now. But today is Monday, April 17th, 2017.
I think we're going to have to change the bumper music to something like da 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 da.
I don't know. It's just so bizarre, anyway, let's get started, and we'll begin to talk about a lot of these bizarre things that are happening here and around the world. Gold today, pressure at the last minute after the spot market closed, but in the aftermarket trade, got a little pressure on gold down 470. At $1,284, silver was down 13 cents at $18.49. Platinum was up $11 at $988. And palladium was down 7 at $792. I do believe the dollar was weaker today, down 0.21 at 100.30. And crude oil was down 0.57 at $52.61. And the paper markets today, well, here I thought I was, for Pete's sake.
Do you like some assistance, Melody?
No, I don't need any assistance.
Okay.
The Dow was up 183 points today at 20,636. The NASDAQ was up 51 at 58.56. The S&P was up 20 at 23.49. 10-year yield, 2.25%. Euro 106, up 0.26. London and European markets were mixed overnight. And the fear and greed is 30 into the fear gauge. So, kind of interesting there. And I think one of the interesting things, I was listening to people discuss Turkey's election over the weekend, and they changed. He is now president of Turkey, but he doesn't have a Congress. He doesn't have Senate. There's no one there to control what he does. And what was interesting is since the government controls their TVs, there were never any commercials or advertisements for against the vote. It was all pro. And when they went into the booth, the election question wasn't listed. All they had was a blank piece of paper. On one side was yes, and the other side was no. And yet there was 18 different items that were included in all of this in order to change their government laws and so forth, but all they had was a yes and a no. And what was also interesting, since there was no negative advertising against Erdogan, it was still almost a 50-50 to where the, you know, people didn't want to change the government and the other half did. So, I don't know, I just thought it was kind of interesting. Can you imagine going into a voting box and all you see is a yes and a no?
Now, we have better, we have higher quality voting in this country. Now, it may be that the computer programs that actually count the votes, they may be a little bit twisted, but they give you a bunch of choices. They may not count.
But I guess he still has to have elections in 2019 to sort of complete his victory. And mainly he was been given all this credit for the country's economic boom over the last 15 years. A lot of your, I think the larger cities were actually voting no on it, I believe. But it's kind of interesting, you know, how that country is changing and their attachments. How is that going to affect the European Union their values and the commitments with Turkey? And what is he going to do? What will their relationship with Russia be? And, you know, so it really is an interesting And during this discussion on the radio, they were talking about how, you know, the democratic countries, yeah, I know it's a loose word anymore, but for lack of a better description, countries are actually on the decline, where you have more of the dictatorship countries are actually increasing. And something during the Cold War, you just basically had the opposite. So it seems like the whole world, you know, when you have, it's just like what we've seen, the standard of living in this country decline to match the rest of the world's. I mean, our standard of living decline to match the rest of the world's. You're also seeing it as a global governments. You know, you have, you know, something that was supposedly good being brought down to where your dictatorships are rising, and somewhere along in the middle they'll combine and, you know, create their one world government. So I don't know, it's kind of interesting.
I don't think that they have dictatorships exactly going into the one world government. It might be a transition from what we've got to what they think we need.
I think the new world government will be transitioned out of, you know, I don't think you're not going to have dictatorships not join in. It'll be changed.
They'll be bribed. If they're real dictators, sure, they're for sales of the highest bidder. They'll be bribed and, you know, buy them a palace or whatever, so, on the Mediterranean. Yeah. They'll be happy campers. Get out and get drunk, chase wild women. Enjoy their lives, basically. I think that's the way they'll probably look at it. But from my perspective, insofar, I suspect that if we're moving into a situation where we have more dictators, I think that's a function of increasing nationalism, increasing isolation, decreasing global trade. And as a result, as countries walk away and they say, we want out of here, we don't want a part of the global free trade, we don't want a part of the New World Order, we want to be on our own. Well, that's not so far removed from saying we want a king. Right? Trump, for example, in this country. Some people are going to appreciate Trump simply because he is moving away from the establishment, right? But if he does that, that establishment is a collection of bureaucrats and bureaucracies and whatever. It's a kind of machine. You move away from that. What's your alternative to the machine? It's probably an individual dictator. It may not be. I'm not arguing that Trump is a dictator. That's not what I'm claiming. But I am saying that he has clearly moved into a position where he's acting on his own. He's not acting in obvious consultation with the elite, or at least he wasn't when we first got him, and we didn't think he was going to. Maybe that'll. But it, I don't know. Maybe, does that make any sense, Molly? You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
All right. I think it's a function. If global trade were to pick up, if the global economy were to gain strength again, I'd say we'd be inclined to get away from our dictators and get back to some sort of a democratic system that ultimately goes global. So, watch and see.
What we're experiencing, though, is change. Mm-hmm. We are getting change, folks, whether you like it or not. Uh-huh. It's not just change here, but we are moving in a direction that I don't think anyone's ever experienced before. You know, the world has not experienced, the people have not experienced. And I think a lot of these governments, these Federal Reserves, the central banks, I mean, they're all micromanaging it as it comes along. And but you reach a point that before these changes are completed, there has to be something that unites, or and which is usually something very devastating.
Nothing like a world war.
Exactly.
To bring in a bunch of global changes. So we had World War II, and they laid these changes laid the foundation for changes that affected us globally. And it is conceivable that another major war would perhaps lay the foundation for more global changes.
So again, the importance of protecting yourself, your finances, your wealth. You cannot even feel secure in having your paper investments in your 401s and not having access to it. You have to get them protected. And the only thing that is going to survive, yeah, you might have a few other things, but the one thing that I'm pretty 100% sure and believe and there's no guarantees in anything in this world, but it's close, is owning gold and silver. And again, be careful out there, folks. And I got a lot of things I want to talk about, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, as I usually say, but I end up anyway. There's a company in California that's selling the 1.5 ounce coins. They're selling
1.5 ounce silver coins.
Bullion. It's strictly bullion. He paid, this guy told me today, he paid $48 and some change for 1.5 ounces of silver. Even on his statement, it shows that gold and silver have to rise at least 50% for them to break even. And this is a company that's advertised daily, 3 or 4 times on the TV. I'm sure it's probably Fox News. I don't know what other station they would advertise on. And they slam you into IRAs. He paid, supposedly, it's nothing but a bullion coin, 1/4 ounce gold for over $500.
Which works out to $2,000 per ounce of gold. $500 for 1/4 ounce translates into $2,000 per ounce gold, and the going price right now is about $1,280.
But they really get you on the silver. If you think that's bad, they really get you on the silver.
Mm-hmm.
So, and his comment to me, I was telling Al during the program, or before the program, the one item he said to me, he says, Melody, he says, I didn't think I could be conned. He thought he knew enough about gold and silver, and he says, I hear you all the time talking about these people, talking about these dealers who do this. He says, and I didn't think I was going to get conned. These people are very good. They record you. So we going chances of going to the attorney general, you know, your recording is basically you're acknowledging the fact of what you're paying. So yeah, very little argument with the, you know, the attorney general's not going to do much unless he gets enough complaints. What's the Better Business Bureau going to do? They're not going to do much. You know, to me, they're just a worthless organization. But it's better than nothing. So again, folks, I can buy silver rounds at 40 cents over spot. Well, good luck. Wholesale's more than 40 cents. How often do you have to hear people can't sell product at wholesale? There's something wrong. They might be able to do it for the first month or two. Tolving in California, he did it for a couple of years. People did get their product. But you know what? Eventually, it catches up, and all of a sudden, people don't get their product. So you know this happens, and yet people continue to support. And if you figure out how many pennies that you save, why would you support someone who most likely they have one leg in the ground, they need the cash, because that's the only reason you sell at wholesale is to get business, because you need the money, or else you'd run your business like a regular business.
You're also implying that it's a Ponzi scheme. In order to make good on my existing commitments, I got to sell something, anything, at any price to get more cash up so I can maintain, keep the scheme rolling. It eventually catches up with you. Yeah, I know. And they need it to make good on previous promises, perhaps. But it sounds like a Ponzi scheme to me. I mean, why sell things? Why, you know, you buy low and you sell high.
Why would you buy it below? Why would anybody sell it for below wholesale? I run specials. Sometimes I can run a special if I happen to be able to buy, you know, one of my buyers are selling me something at a, you know, maybe a very special price that I buy a volume and so on. Yeah, I might be able to do it below wholesale or so forth. That's rare. I'll give you great deals. Oh my gosh, I just sounded like Trump. I got great deals. But, you know, you can't do it every day, day in, day out, week after week, month after month. So again, folks, you know, don't think you're immune to a professional con person, and that's what they really are. They're professional con people. And anyway, we talk a lot about this troubled retailers. Among America's 8 most troubled large retailers, nearly 1 million jobs are at stake as the industry continues to collapse in on itself, damaged by sales, which have continued to dive, largest due to e-commerce. So when we talk about the e-commerce and we talk about these retailers closing, not only are they just closing, but look at the number of jobs that are due to be lost. Tens of thousands of jobs are going to be slashed. A lot of the, and many more positions are extreme risk. And this is going to be a continued process. You're going to see more of this happening. Not just your JCPenney's, your Kohl's, your Targets, and so forth. You're going to see it with Walmart. So, again, here's another trend. That how many jobs are going to be lost and how many jobs are being created.
So, they're not creating enough. No. You know, during the Industrial Revolution, they lost jobs. The Industrial Revolution, 1760 to 1830 or 40, somewhere in there, but somewhere around 1800. 20, 40 years either way of 1800. They lost jobs because of the Industrial Revolution, that's true, but they created new jobs. And they created more new jobs ultimately than the number of jobs that were outmoded by technology. That's not likely to happen here. These, in part because the speed of the technological revolution, the robot revolution, the automation revolution, the speed is way, way faster. During the Industrial Revolution, roughly a period of 80 years, you had 3, maybe 4 generations of people who could slowly adapt to what was happening. Right? It was painful for some of them, and for some they got along just fine. But this is happening so rapidly. These robots are coming at us as a kind of invasion, and it's not going to happen over a period of 80 years. We're going to see significant dislocations in a period of 10 years, maybe 5. And what are we going to do about it? What are you going to do with people who not only don't have jobs, they've been replaced by technology, they're never going to get another job? Well, that's an exaggeration. Some of them will. But as a class, and this class, we're not just talking about poor people, uneducated people. We're talking about accountants can be replaced by artificial intelligence. There are not many of us that can't be replaced by this robot invasion. And what are we going to do for work? And if we don't have work, how do we get money? And if we all get paid, if the government taxes robots and we all get the same amount of money, can you hold a society together when we are all the same? I don't think we can. We'll take a break for a couple commercials. Melody and I will be right back. Please stay tuned to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. talkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Talking away. I don't know what
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. What's next, Melody?
I'll have a special little later on in the program, and I just want to keep on. There was a couple of things I wanted to touch on, and I know you wanted to touch on some things today, Al. And we've talked about this before, about Americans owing about $1 trillion in credit card debt, with an average monthly balance of about $9,600 for borrowers who don't pay their cards in full each month. Now, we know they're going to have, or on the table so far, there's two more rate hikes that everyone thinks they're going to have. And you have to think of the impact. I mean, it doesn't seem like when we just move a quarter point, it's no big deal. But it does hurt the people who have credit cards, who have gone into debt. And one minute before the rate increases, they're only shelling out a little over $1,100, a little under $1,185. If you have two rate hikes, all of a sudden now they're paying $1,300. So, in interest a year.
Another $115 or whatever it is.
Yeah. So my point is, you know, the rate, this is, again, more pressure on an individual's pocketbook. So we might see wages go up a little bit, and everybody, you know, Wall Street cheers, oh, wages are going up, but disposable incomes are being eaten up by the increases in interest rates. So again, it's not good for the consumer when they can only make minimum payments anyway. And this is the same type of situations that we've had prior to 2008. So again, we're right back economically to the same place we were, and we're going to have the same outcome, except it's going to be far worse. You have car loans again. We've talked about this time and time again. You know, credit scores below 500. It's considered very risky. No problem getting a brand new car. They'll find somebody to finance it. And so again, we're seeing the same behavior. And when they start tinkering with the fraud, yeah, that's what we should call it, the fraud, Frank. When they start changing those, am I the only one that thought that was funny, Al?
Well, you mean the only one that's on the program right now, or are you talking about in the audience also?
But once they start tinkering with the regulations and so forth in banking, behavior is going to be the same. And things are just not good in this country, Al.
Well, I understand that, which is part of the reason why this credit card debt is dangerous. And from my perspective, the problem is not particularly the interest rate. I don't see that as the big problem. What I see as the problem is that people have to borrow to make ends meet. There's the problem. I mean, I don't care what difference does the interest rate mean to anyone if you're not borrowing.
I guess
it's the idea that you don't have enough money in the first place. You either have to adjust your standard of living to live within your means, or something's got to be done because your means are no longer sufficient. But the problem is there's more bills than there are. There are more bills than there are income, and therefore people borrow, and they make it easy for you. And then you get strapped where you pay interest on interest on interest on interest, and you go into a kind of bondage that really does hurt. I mean, most of the things, if you say the average person who's in debt on credit card is in debt for $9,600, mm-hmm. If you looked at that $9,600 and you analyzed, well, what did I buy here? What does this represent? In retrospect, how much of it did you need? I know you got to get groceries and you got to get gas to get to work and a few things like that, but did you waste that $9,600 or part of it? Was it spent on new purses or new, a new rifle or something that you don't really need? Yeah, you want it, but did you need it? And even if everything on your $9,600 debt, even if it was all necessary, it still points us in a bad direction, because sooner or later, you're going to have to cut back. When we are borrowing money right now, whether you're a government or an individual, you are betting part of your future in order to make some purchase something today. And necessarily, that $9,600, okay, I'm going to go use my credit card to buy something that's going to cost $9,600 today. By definition, it's just obvious. Everybody understands this if you stop to think. That means I'm not going to have $9,600 sometime in the future. If I'm going to make good on the debt, I have to do without $9,600 at some point in the future. And I may not be willing to do without the $9,600. I may be more inclined to say, to heck with that, I'm going to go in debt for another $9,600 because there's more stuff here that I want. Sooner or later, that future, when the promise to pay, you finally get to the moment when the promise to pay is supposed to be kept, at that point in time, your standard of living has to fall to reflect how much you've really earned over this period of time. And the $9,600 is going to be charged against your future, and it means your future will be less prosperous than your present, which points to recession and or depression if this kind of problem happens on a widespread basis among people in the country.
Well, it is. When we have over $1 trillion in credit card debt moving up, yeah, absolutely it is a problem. And and it's not manageable. And that's what it's one thing to have debt and you can manage it, but when you have those increased rates, you can't manage it.
It makes it harder.
And most people, if they're living paycheck to paycheck, yep, and they can't put a couple $100 in a savings account, chances are we don't, hey, $116, who doesn't have $116? A lot of people don't. Not when it comes to, and that's out of their control. They still have to pay the rate, the interest rates. They can't, adjust that. So, again, it's another sign that our economy, the people in this country are having difficulties. We're right back to the same place. And as long as we have a fiat currency, as long as they don't fix our monetary policy, it's going to just happen time and time again until it gets so big the last time will really be the last time.
I think one of the most important people can do is to generate as much savings as possible.
Well, of course, but I mean, the point
but
is,
here's
it
one
hasn't.
Of the points. Here's my point. If you're going to use your credit card to buy now and pay later, you are guaranteeing that you're not going to have savings later. Instead of you saving the money, somebody else might be saving the money that you're ultimately paying that credit card by repaying the credit card to. The bank might be saving it, but you're not. And my point again is that insofar as we rely on buy now and pay later, we are, that whole mentality, the money, that $9,600, you might have been able to put that in your own savings account. As tough as it may be, you think, oh my God, how can I come up with $9,600? Well, you're going to have to if you spend it on your credit card. In theory, you're going to have to come up with it sooner or later. Why not make the effort to save that money rather than spend it? Even if you're saving only $200 a month, mm-hmm, at the end of the year, you got an extra $2,400. It's not a fortune, that's for sure. But for a lot of people, they can't even come up with $500 in cash. Yeah. $2,400 is a significant little nest egg to people who don't have $500 in cash. It could be done if you were not impulsive about buying whatever thing you want and putting it on your credit card. And this mentality that we can, buy now, pay later. We are going to pay later. Everybody says buy now, pay later, and the only thing they hear is buy now. We ignore the second half, but you will pay later. All right? And you'll not only pay later, you'll pay more later. All right? After they get done with the interest rate and the rest of that sort of thing, you're going to pay, if you bought $9,600 worth of goods, I don't know what you're going to pay for it. I wouldn't be surprised if you're going to ultimately pay $12,000 for it, because you had to buy it now and you forgot about the pay later. So
they always have to wreck our fun, don't they? And one more thing I want to move on is, again, it seemed at first it seemed like, well, maybe North Korea, maybe it was softening a little bit, but if you read the headlines today, not so much. It seems like Kim's special forces, they're getting prepared. Headlines, nuke war at any moment. North Korea vows weekly missile launch. I'm not so sure China's really doing much of anything they might say they're doing. Plus, we have Hawaii. This was actually reported on Friday. The Hawaii panel asked state to prepare for North Korea attack.
On Hawaii?
Hawaii lawmakers want state officials to update plans for coping with the nuclear attack as North Korea develops nuclear weapons and ballistic missiles that can reach the islands. The State House Public Safety Committee unanimously passed a resolution Thursday. Committee Vice Chairman Matt Loprusty says he's not trying to spread fear, but he wants the public to know the government is taking steps to protect them in the worst-case scenario. He's aiming to get state funding to re-equip Cold War-era fallout shelters. The resolution that moved forward Thursday said that in 1981, Yahoo had hundreds of fallout shelters, many stocked with medical kits, food, and sanitary kits. But in later years, the funding dried up and the stocks were thrown out. That's
lightning.
Wow. Hawaii Emergency Management Agency.
So if I go bye-bye, Melody, you'll understand.
Yes. Hawaii Emergency Management Agency, anyway, they're updating their plans.
I don't think Kim is crazy enough to bomb Hawaii. It's a little bit like spending your nuclear missiles on Disneyland. You know, come on, that's not necessarily a prime
it's
target.
It's the U.S.
Well, I understand that, but
I would think he would probably go closer to Japan, but.
Oh, the whole thing. I don't know.
But you know what's interesting? I heard discussion on a program today that they were talking about, he wouldn't actually, the only way he would actually do the nuclear, if he has a ballistic missile that, does carry the nuclear weapon, only if he himself was truly if he was truly threatened and thought he was going to be eliminated, he might do something like that. But
I get
the point of all this, and I don't want to discuss it because we really don't know, but things are really heating up, folks, and it's disturbing.
Well, it's cause for concern. I don't know what to say about it exactly, but if Kim thinks he's going to be attacked, he doesn't think he's going to be attacked an hour from now.
No.
All right? And I think personal attack on Kim, I'm not sure how these ballistic missiles work, but I suspect it may take, some time. You don't just throw the switch and the missiles fly. It takes a little bit of time to get everything in order, get everybody standing in the right place, and get everything fueled up and ready to go. And the missiles are instant. I think they have to be maybe a few, I'm only guessing, but they may be a few days preparation in anticipation for launch. There might be a couple of days in anticipation. I don't know if that's true or false. The whole thing is crazy. I don't know. What are you going to do in a world where lunatics can lay hands on nuclear weapons? There is the problem, right? We've managed to get along with nuclear weapons now since 1945 without too much trouble. It was always dangerous, but the world has been reasonably restrained in the application of nuclear missiles, and except for two on Japan back in 1945, we've had a couple thousand tests. I think it's about 2,000 tests we've had of nuclear missiles or nuclear bombs, but nobody has nuked anybody that I'm aware of. Kim is changing that, where we have a kind of, I don't know, you can't rely on it, but you could say it was a bit of a tradition. We threaten to nuke people, but we don't actually do it. Kim might do it. He's crazy enough to do it. I mean, God, you really do have to be nuts. You got to be out of your mind to make these kinds of threats, and yet there they are. And we have to deal with them over here, and we have to worry about, you know, is Kim just an idiot, or is he really capable of sending a nuclear weapon to the United States? And not necessarily just by intercontinental ballistic missile. Can he move one over here on a ship? Can he move a ship into San Francisco Bay that's got a nuclear weapon planted down the hold someplace? How about one for Los Angeles? Huh? And these ICBMs are interesting, but they're by no means the only way you can get a nuclear weapon, at least to the shore of a country. So, I don't know. It's one of these things, you look up at the sky and you say, there's a certain amount of why me, Lord? You know, if my parents' generation, I thought, is perhaps the best generation, the luckiest generation.
The luckiest.
Not the greatest generation,
no,
but the luckiest.
Not the greatest, the luckiest.
It was all, I mean, they were born during the Great Depression. It was as tough then as it would ever be for most of them. Things got better and better and better and better for most of their lives, and it's a wonderful way to live. They had a wonderful opportunity. It was perhaps negligent, and they took advantage of it. They didn't really appreciate what they had, but they did go from, you know, something bad, and it got better, and it got better, and it got better. And there was a kind of optimism in that generation that was enviable. Now we are caught in another time, when things seem to be getting worse and worse and worse. And you don't have that same optimism. You don't have that same, you know, instead of just enjoying your life, you're out looking to the left and looking to the right just to see, is there anything out there? Something, is there something dangerous in the environment that I need to be concerned about? So what can you say? You play the cards you're dealt, and thank God that you're alive. But these are interesting times. They are challenging times, dangerous times. And so, Melody, are you building a bomb shelter or anything like that?
I wouldn't make the announcement on the radio if I was. But and, you know, and this makes people do strange things, too, because that stress kind of filters down. I mean, there's some killer. I mean, have you even heard about that? He killed somebody. He claimed he killed 15, and he's going to kill as many as he can traveling the country. You know, they don't know where this guy's at. And it's just like, people are just loony.
Well, what's that tell you? You got to figure out a way. You've got to recognize the stress that we're under. Mm-hmm. You've got to some degree, accept it, compensate for it, and learn to keep your head. We're going to take a break for a couple of commercials, and Melody will be right back with me, Alfred Addis, on Financial Survival.
Just one more time. Oh, won't you tell me again? Tell me again tonight. Each and every heart is.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com, or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today today, complete with two Black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk. I'm here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. What's next, Melody?
Oh, I knew you were going to ask me that. I think you should take over.
All right. I've got an article here that is interesting. All right. This is very surprising. And it deals with Alex Jones. And from Infowars.com, and I would bet that virtually everyone listening to this program, you know who Alex Jones is. You've heard him before. Some of you may listen to him regularly. Almost all of you have probably heard him speak sometimes. I've met Alex Jones a couple of times. I've been on his program a couple of times. I admire the man's courage. I admire his business acumen. He's gone from nothing to where he has generated. He's made himself a real player in the media. But he's controversial, of course. And here's an article from InfoWars itself. That the headline is, Google takes out major contract to delist InfoWars from its search index. Right, Google has hired contractors to remove or limit Alex Jones' website, Infowars.com, from its search engines. In other words, if you want to find something on AlexJones.com, you're going to have a more difficult time finding it with Google. And all by itself, there's something wrong with that. The idea that Google is in a position to say who can or cannot be found on the Internet, or at least influence, there should be. Everyone should have kind of an equal access on the Internet, even if you're crazy. Kim Il-sung, all right, he ought to have equal access to the Internet. Crazy or not, we need to hear what he has to say, even if only to confirm that he's crazy. So Google's hired contractors to remove or limit Alex Jones' website, Infowars.com, from its search engines. According to a search engine evaluator for Google, all contractors have been instructed to actively rate Infowars as a low-quality and untrusted site. Excuse me. Got something going on here. Apparently, I caught Melody's. Melody's not coughing.
Allergy.
Hey, have you given that to me? Is that what happened?
I try.
No. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The instructions the contractors provide that InfoWars is not an outright false website and is not among the worst of the worst. There are a number of controversial, often debunked claims that the site regularly promotes. InfoWars articles must be rated low to medium. Point is, you know, Jones has succeeded to the point where people are leaning on him, all right? They're putting pressure on him to try to restrict the public's access to Alex Jones. But here's a second one. Here's a second article from Alex Jones, and from Yahoo's News, excuse me. And the headline is, Alex Jones, the InfoWars conspiracy guru, is just playing a part, his lawyers say. Now, this is a devastating article. I mean, I look at this and I say, oh, my God. Conspiracy theorist Alex Jones is just playing a character on his popular InfoWars broadcast, according to his lawyer. This is an extraordinary admission. This is like finding out that Rush Limbaugh has been a communist all his life. All right, he comes out instead of being a conservative. He says, oh, no, I've just been playing. I never believed any of that conservative bull. I am, in fact, a communist. I'm a Bernie Sanders fan. And I think Trotsky and Lenin, they had the right idea. That would be devastating. And if Rush made that admission, his audience would disappear in pretty short. Well, much of his audience would disappear in pretty short order. And here we have Alex Jones' attorneys is saying that he's just playing a character. The question of whether or not Jones believes the myriad conspiracy theories he espouses daily or is simply putting on a performance has become an issue in a child custody hearing between Jones and his ex-wife, Kelly Jones, who has been divorced from Alex Jones since 2015. And she's suing in Texas court for partial or sole custody of their three children. Jones apparently has the kids. He's the primary custodian for the children, or at least, I don't know if she has partial custody, but she wants more custody or maybe all custody. According to the Austin American Statesman report, on the pretrial hearing, Jones attorney Randall Wilhite said that inferring Jones' character based on his InfoWars broadcast would make as much sense as judging Jack Nicholson based on his performance as the Joker. Again, Wilhite, the attorney, said of Jones, he's playing a character. He is a performance artist. You hear people, and this is an extraordinary, devastating admission from my perspective, coming from Jones implicitly because his lawyer is the one who's doing the talking. And the reason for this, Jones' wife says there's no difference between her former husband and the on-air personality who has threatened to beat up both actor Alec Baldwin and California Democratic Representative Adam Schiff in recent months. Now, Adam Schiff is a member of Congress, and according to Jones' wife, she says, I'm concerned that he is engaged in felonious behavior threatening a member of Congress. If they jailed everybody in this country who had threatened a member of Congress or the White House or the courts or whatever, there wouldn't be any of we'd all be locked up pretty much. But his wife is saying he is engaged in felonious behavior, and I don't doubt that the law probably, I haven't read the relevant law, but I don't doubt that there is law that says you threaten a congressman, it's a felony. Okay? And she said this during the pretrial hearing, as per the American Statesman, and she goes on, she says, he broadcasts from home. The children are there watching him broadcast. Jones's children are aged 14, 12, and 9. All right. Now, so she has alleged that he really believes, he really wants to beat up the congressman, which is a felony. And Jones, in order to defend himself against this allegation, saying, oh, no, this was just performance art. When I threaten to beat people up, it's like a comedian who's threatening to hit somebody with a pie in the face. All right. Now, that's not Jones's word, but that's essentially what. But he has gone ahead and allowed his attorney to say that this is just performance art. Jones said his comments about Schiff. Which one is Schiff? Two of them. Alec Baldwin in California. The congressman Schiff, whom he called a GD son of a bitch earlier this month, were clearly tongue-in-cheek and basically art performance. Now, this is a stunning admission, because people are going to say, oh my God, we've been listening to Alex Jones all these years and trusting him, and he is saying, no, it's just a show. All right? It's not the real deal. It's not what he really thinks. This is going to drive part of his audience away. I don't know how much he's going to lose, but I'm not going to be surprised if listenership falls by 20% once people understand what he said. Apparently, this was said just in the last few days, and the implications. And I almost can't imagine that Jones would have said that unless he is really concerned about the child custody allegations, and or he's had enough. And he's willing to fold up the InfoWars radio program. Because this is a terrible thing. This is equivalent to me saying, I don't really believe in gold. All right, I talk about it on this program. I talk about it regularly. And if I came out and said, I don't own any gold. That's for losers. I put all my money in government bonds. If I came out and made that admission, there would be people who listen to this program and have perhaps trusted me up until now or had some confidence in what I've said about gold, and they realize, no, he's just lying. You can't make that kind of admission. I have no idea how he made that admission without being concerned that he's going to lose some portion of his audience. That's just, it'll haunt him the rest of his life, I think. So, interesting story. It's not world-shaking. It's not the rest of it. It's, you know, it's not going to make any difference whether Kim Il-sung, whether he's going to bomb us or he's not going to bomb us. This doesn't go to that. But still, Jones is an important part of the alternative media. He's one of the biggest parts, maybe the single biggest part of the alternative media. And yet he's making admissions. He is admitting. I mean, it's one thing to stand up, and many of you may have suspected that he's sometimes putting on an act, putting on a show, sometimes. But to have him admit that, an astonishing admission, and really I'm not sure what to make of it. But we'll watch and see. We'll see how it works out. What do you think, Molly?
No comment.
No comment. All right. Does that mean that I get the next one? Here's one. Gold is on the verge of a big breakout. This is a Business Insider. And it says, last night after Donald Trump bemoaned the strength of the dollar, gold price jumped in reaction. The dollar may be following a pattern very similar to what was seen near the 2002 peak. If Donald Trump gets his way and the dollar peaks and reverses right here, gold will almost certainly break out. Finally, from a fundamental standpoint, gold has perhaps never been cheaper relative to financial assets than it is today. In other words, once it does break out, there is plenty of potential to the upside. And this is from Business Insider, credible publication. Doesn't mean that what they write is true and exactly, it's not prophecy, but nevertheless, credible publication. Gold is on the verge of a big breakout. And they are pointing out, they're specifically saying, from a fundamental standpoint, that's what we talk about, or we try to on this program, we talk about fundamentals, fundamentals. They say, from a fundamental standpoint, gold has perhaps never been cheaper relative to financial assets than it is today. What does that mean? It means if you subscribe to the theory, if you want to make a, if you want to profit from investing, you buy low and you sell high. And they are saying that in relation to financial assets, gold has never been cheaper than it is today. From that perspective, gold is low in relation to financial assets, right? If you had financial assets, stocks, bonds, whatever, and you compared them in price to gold, the financial assets are apparently at or near a peak. Certainly the Dow is. They're at or near a peak, and gold is at a surprising trough. And the implication is now is the time to sell high on the financial assets and buy low on the gold. And that's the implication of an article from Business Insider. And again, it's not just a little bit of conjecture and theory. This goes to Donald Trump saying he bemoans the strength of the dollar. Right? This is the main reason to buy gold, in my opinion, because the dollar is in great peril. I don't think the dollar, it's a fiat currency. They all die sooner or later. None of them last a century. Most of them, average, I think, is something like 40, 50 years. We've done that with the fiat dollar. I mean, it's on the verge of, it's within a couple of years of going down. And when it does, it's the monetary chaos that will follow. In that context, gold is going to go through the roof. I'm not investing in gold because I think gold is an industrial metal. That doesn't interest me at all. Quite the contrary. I think it's a monetary metal. And if dollars fail, gold is going to rise. The demand for gold is going to be phenomenal, and the price and the purchasing power of gold should move upwards in a dramatic fashion. And for me, that's the reason you get into this. And Donald Trump says that the strength of the dollar is too much. We have the dollar currently has its purchasing power is less than a nickel compared to what you could buy with it back in 1971. The dollar's lost over 96% of its value. And Trump still says the strength of the dollar, meaning the value of the dollar, is still too high. He wants to take it down from 4 cents compared to 1971 to 3 cents or 2 cents. Well, how far down can you take the value of the dollar before people say, you know, this thing's worthless, let's get rid of it and let's get hold of something that's real? If you subscribe to the idea that the price of gold is going to go, that the dollar, if you subscribe to the idea that the dollar is, you know, within some, you know, relatively short period of time, could be a few more years, could be a few more months, nobody knows, but if you subscribe to the idea that the fiat dollar and perhaps the fiat monetary system that dominates the world, the debt-based monetary system that dominates the world and has given us a debt that's so enormous it can never be paid, if you subscribe to the idea that that debt is going to hit the fan in the foreseeable future, then the best protection you can come up with right now is gold. You move out of that fiat dollar, you move out of those paper promises to pay, you get into a real payment, which is gold or silver coin, and then you sit back and wait. All right, watch. But this is your insurance policy. This is your, perhaps your guarantee for something when you retire, having something when you retire. It's based on the presumption that the dollar is going to fail. The fiat currency is going to fail. The debt-based monetary system is going to blow up in everybody's face, and not so long from now, because it is irrational. It's crazy. You know, Melly's talking at the beginning of the program. We got the things are crazy. The craziest thing we have are those green pieces of paper in your pocket, in your wallet, that we treat as if they were assets that have no intrinsic value, and in fact are debt instruments. We treat debt as if it were wealth. It's crazy. It's irrational. It cannot last a whole bunch longer. And if you subscribe to that philosophy, now's the time. Give Melody a call. 1-800-375-4188. Discount gold and silver. We're out of time. I want to thank you for listening. We'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Todd, the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay.
Ain't it sad?
And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me.
That's too bad.
In my dreams, I have a plan. If I got me a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to work at all.